Find out which guests are being featured this week. Read our network press releases and read the blog posts from your favorite hosts. Go to iradioblog.com today, powered by the Voice America Talk Radio Network.
The following program is being brought to you on the Seventh Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. Welcome to Frame of Mind with your host, Terry Sue. If we learn to live and think healthier, we begin to explore and focus on our strengths. Once we determine what our strengths are, we can use those gifts and talents to help others to heal. Helping others fosters congeniality. Congeniality facilitates peace and love. Now, here's your host, Terry Sue.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Frame of Mind. This is your host, Terry Sue, and today we will be discussing art and creativity for healing with founder and director Lori Zagon. Art and creativity for healing classes and workshops are taught by founder director Lori Zagon and her team of 25 certified art for healing facilitators. In 2004, Ms. Zagon was honored by Mission Hospital with the Spirit of Giving Award for her contribution to the community. Ms. Zagon received her Master of Fine Arts at Syracuse University in New York and her undergraduate degree at the Maryland Institute College of Art in Baltimore. A fine arts professor for over 14 years at the City University of New York, she taught design, color, and light theory and painting. For over 25 years, Ms. Zagon has facilitated art and creativity for healing workshops. Using her method of art for healing, she has helped thousands of children and adults process stress, illness, grief, and fear in hospitals and nonprofit community organizations throughout Southern California and the U.S. The art for healing method was initially developed in New York in 1987 as an art workshop to help busy Wall Street executives deal with stress. Lori's work in color and light is well known not only through her paintings, but also through published works. One of those is the book, It's Never Too Late to Have a Happy Childhood, Inspirations for Inner Healing by Claudia Black. She is also the co-author of the book, The Power of Color, Creating Healthy Interior Spaces, and most recently, Art for Healing, Painting Your Heart Out. To date, Ms. Zagon has trained and certified over 500 facilitators, including myself, and she has facilitated workshops for more than 25,000 children and adults. So welcome, Lori.
Well, thank you, Terry. It's so nice to be here.
It's great to have you. Let's begin by having you tell our listening audience about a little bit more about the history for creating art and creativity for healing.
Sure. You know, I'm a New Yorker, always will be, although now it's been many years that I've been out in California, actually 22 to be exact, but somehow the New York never comes out, so, you know, my New York accent will start slipping in a second. But it was back in the mid-80s, and I had been an artist in New York, living in Manhattan, and also teaching at the City University of New York traditional art classes. And I noticed during the time that I was teaching that I had some students taking painting classes who were struggling. So halfway through the semester, they were just struggling with so much technical skill that they had to have in order to be at the top of the class. And so one of the things that they said to me was, you know, I'm just not going to take any more art classes. I obviously am not talented enough. And at the time, I thought, this is ridiculous. I think everybody's creative. Everybody has the ability to be creative. Let me try some things out. So in essence, that's what happened, is I tried some things out by having them paint abstractly to music, in essence, is what I did. And it was so successful. They had so much fun, and they started to enjoy painting. And some of them actually went on to study art and have master's degrees and actually have careers as artists. So they were very young at the time, and they just couldn't get past some of the technical stuff that they had to be able to do in order to make it in the art field. So they later, after getting into it and enjoying it from a soulful approach, they then caught up and were able to get some of the other skills that they needed. So with that, I began to realize that there was something more that I could do with students. And lo and behold, I had an opportunity by a couple of Wall Street executives coming to my studio to look at a painting to buy. And one of them said to me, "Oh, could you teach us an art class sometime?" And I said, "Well, what kind of art class? I mean, you're in Wall Street and I'm all the way on the other end of town." And they said, "Oh, no, I mean, not like a traditional university class where you have to go 15 weeks or so, just one night." And I said, "Well, what kind of class could I teach you in one night?" And they said, "Oh, just like a class where we could come and mess up a canvas for a couple of hours." And I thought, mess up a canvas? What a brilliant idea. This is great. Let's do that. And so that's how it really started, was that. And then we had the first night was amazing.
Well, it sounds like there was a lot of stress, you know, on Wall Street, and that they needed to have sort of an outlet for.
Oh, yeah. Well, what they did is I had them, so they said to me, "Okay, well, what do we have to do?" And I said, "Well, what you have to do is you have to get 10 people together." And I thought for sure that I'd never hear from them again. And they called me the next day and said, "We have our 10. And I said, "Well, what, you know, who are these people?" And they said, "Well, there are 10 of us, 9 men and 1 woman." And I thought, 9 men and 1 woman, this is going to be a little strange. And so I rented a local conference room at a hotel. They walked in like penguins in Armani suits, one after another. And to myself, I thought, you know, a little negativity from New York, oh my goodness, how is this ever going to work? These people are just so tightly wrapped. And in fact, they were very tightly wrapped. They were tapping their watches, and they didn't have cell phones in those days. And they sat down, and I just looked at them, and I thought, okay, let me try and see what will happen. Within 20 minutes, there was a transcendent experience. They changed into 5-year-old children. And that was the beginning of Art and Creativity for Healing for me, really, of seeing how people would be transformed with this process.
Well, I'll tell you, I have to interject and say that when I was attending Pepperdine University, and your class was one of our requirements for self-disclosure, and I attended, I was hooked, because there's so much power behind taking the work that's right there in front of you and given the questions that you ask and so forth. And then some of it's painful and some of it is very uplifting. But depending on the subject that we're addressing, for that painting and that little work of art to be taken and removed from you and put up on the wall is very powerful. It's as if a part of you has been either uplifted or you've been separated from that feeling, and you have the opportunity to actually look at your own feelings being put up on the wall. It's kind of hard to describe.
Oh, but you're doing a beautiful job.
Powerful.
Can I quote you on that? That's beautiful. Love it. Love the way you said that. And that's true. And although everyone has a different experience, I think basically, it also takes a certain level of courage. People will only go as deep as they feel safe to go.
Which brings me to another question. Do you work with psychiatrists and psychologists?
I do. And I use my relationship with them mostly as, number one, a way for us to have referrals from their clients to us to take a class. And the way that happens is that they'll send people to us and say, they're struggling and creativity seems to be something that they've yearned for. So could you, you know, have them take a class with you? And the results then are taken back, the paintings themselves are taken back to the therapist or counselor or psychiatrist to look at and discuss in their regular therapy sessions.
Yes.
I do want to point out that art for healing is a fine art method. It is not psychological, so that me and all of the teachers that I've trained are all trained to be guides on the path to creativity, and that people share what they choose to share, but we never analyze anyone's work.
And very briefly, do you work with art therapists? Because I know that there is a difference between what you do and what art therapists do.
You know, and I love art therapists, and many of them have taken my Chapman training program. And the reason is that, number one, they're trained to really be therapists. They're trained in psychological counseling methodology. They are people, normally, like one of the best programs in the country is the Loyola Marymount program, and that's actually an MFT program, Marriage Family Therapist program, along with an art therapy program. Mm-hmm. And the thing that they're trained to do, because I've had many students that have taken that I've referred there as well, is that they're really trained to work one-on-one as a counselor. And what we're trained to do, and what I train my people to do, is to work in groups and to create a group creativity exercise that is a very structured exercise where we take people step by step and ask them to express colors abstractly on canvas to express an answer to a question that we ask them about their lives.
We're going to come up on it's time for us to take a short break. So this is Terry Sue with my guest Lori Zagon, and you are listening to Frame of Mind on Voice America Seventh Wave Channel. Stay tuned.
Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America or search for us at keyword Voice America.
Our noetic reality, or divine knowing, is the source of true empowerment. Look beyond your limiting thoughts, emotions, beliefs, and perceptions. You were born to co-create and experience joy and fulfillment. Mastering the Shift, Living Your Noetic Reality with host Rebecca Skeel will guide and inspire you each week to live multidimensionally and shift into greater loving and truth. Tune in every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Seventh Wave Network.
Follow the Voice America Talk Radio Network on Twitter. We're at Voice America TRN. You'll get the latest fix on what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and general happenings that you should know about at the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Now you don't have to miss anything when you're away from your home or office. Just go to twitter.com/Voice America TRN. Or follow along with us at Voice America TRN, the Voice America Talk Radio Network. We're on the cutting edge of social media. Can you keep up? Step into the doorway to conscious choice, greater health, and well-being. Attain the balance that you've been seeking. Tune in and turn on 1111 Talk Radio. Feed the mind. Embrace positively. Release the tension. Step out of fear. Host Simran Singh will help you broaden your mind and open your heart toward a greater understanding of how to take charge of your life. 1111 Talk Radio is here every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time on Seventh Wave Network. 1111 Talk Radio, because shift happens.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You are tuned into Frame of Mind with your host, Terry Sue. If you have a question or comment for our host, or just want to find out more about our program and an Ayurvedic lifestyle, please email terry.suehill@yahoo.com. That's terry.suehill@yahoo.com. Now back to Frame of Mind.
Welcome back, everyone. We are continuing our discussion with my guest, Lori Zagon, founder and director of Art and Creativity for Healing. So, Lori, could you explain to our listeners what are some of the circumstances under which people come and work with you?
Well, we work with children and adults from the age of 5 and up. And there are a lot of different reasons. So, for instance, a family class or a mix of children and adults in a class, we do one called Expressing Feelings with Color once a month on Sunday afternoons. And people are there because they'll go around the room and introduce themselves and sometimes tell you why they're there. And so some of the reasons have been divorce. Some have come because they suffer from depression. Some are grieving from the loss of a loved one. The children are struggling in school. Sometimes the teenagers have gotten in trouble at school and have been sent to us by one of the local police departments to make up for what they have done by taking different classes in the community, and we're considered one of those. And then people that just want to be creative. I think those would be all, you know, we probably covered most of what people come for.
So knowing that you don't really have to have an art background or anything like that in order to take one of your workshops, could you tell us something about the materials, what's needed, or what is provided upon entering the class and working with you?
Sure.
So tell us something about the various mediums and that you use at the in the session.
Well, one of the principal medium is acrylic paint, because I'm a believer that people dipping their hands into paint using Q-tips and sponges instead of brushes is a way for them to not become perfectionists and try to create like detailed little things. We work on a quick time schedule where I detach people from their minds so they can work from their hearts. That's really the way I think about it, is that when they're intuitive, when they're able to work from their intuitive and not overthink something, and they can, they're actually forced to work quickly, I'll count them down to 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, finish that and go on to the next thing. They're able to create things that come from another place. You can call it higher conscience. You know, you can call it super conscience. You could call it, you know, just intuitive. And the intuitive for these people is a way for them to just express things that they don't have words for. And we use acrylics on canvas. So everybody actually gets a chance to take 3 canvases home during a 3-hour workshop. Again, they use sponges and Q-tips. And they're able to sometimes listen to music with the paintings, depending on the warm-up exercise we're doing. We always use music with our warm-ups. And then the signature assignments are always a step-by-step assignment where there's a series of 6 or 7 questions that they answer abstractly with colors on canvas. And those are ways of really just finding out where people are at. And sometimes they know what they've done when they're finished, and sometimes they have no idea. They go into that zone of creativity, and they're just enjoying themselves, and they can either share what it really means or not really means.
Well, I remember, I can't remember the actual name of the workshop, but I can remember there was one where, oh, I know what it was. It was betrayal. Mm-hmm. And you had asked a lot of questions. And I thought that I was painting one thing. And then when I removed it and put it on the wall, it was this big old fist. Mm-hmm. That was really...
It's amazing.
That was something that really spoke to me, because it showed me just how much pent-up anger I had accumulated over the years.
And you were lucky, because you were with a group of other, you know, potential therapists from Pepperdine who could work with you on looking at that too, because that
was
a different kind of situation.
That's right. So I know that with those workshops, there can be a lot of tears, but through those tears, there's a lot of self-realization, and you're looking at yourself in a different way. And then you start to maybe modify and make adjustments to handle what's being pent up or what has been pent up over the years in a different way. Because I know pain can manifest itself in many different ways. Like, you can turn it into a positive, or it can be turned into a negative where you go deeper and deeper inside yourself, or you can channel that anger into some positive behaviors. And so
you have the expertise in that area. See,
yes.
For me, it's all about the fine art of allowing people to make a stroke on canvas and to build another stroke on that and another one on that. And for me, it is about, like every human being has a handwriting, every human being has an art stroke. So I'm interested in what the art strokes will build to create a work of art that they can then translate or have somebody else help them translate in the case of the therapist. But for me, it's just about opening the creative center in people and helping them to tap into that in a way that they haven't for a long time.
Well, I must say that those were just classes that I was taking at Pepperdine. I am not by any means a therapist, but I did learn so much through taking those classes at Pepperdine that I am able, even in my classroom, to look at some of the students' work, and you can kind of tell a little bit about what's going on with them internally, which brings me to brush, or in this case, I know you don't have brushes, you use Q-tips and sponges. And could you talk a little bit about how important the use of stroke is?
Well, as I mentioned, everyone has their art stroke. Everyone has the ability to put the paint down in a way that is unique to them. So the pressure, the way that they push on the sponge or the Q-tip and create a stroke is unique to them. And so that's what I'm interested in. There's a powerful thing that happens between the hand and that color and that stroke that goes down on the canvas, because it is, and you said it beautifully at the beginning, it's a way to get some things out that you're not even sometimes aware that are there, some expressions of yourself, some
yes.
expressions of feelings that maybe are inside, and this is a way to look at them on the outside by putting them on canvas.
And that's going to kind of give a segue into the use of color.
Oh, yes, color.
Yeah, talk about that a little bit.
Well, my background was, of course, color and light theory is what I taught as a university professor for years. I loved color, always have loved color, always have loved the ability to really see it as light, and color and light are synonymous. And so what I see are colorful beings that are filled with light, that are expressing some of that light and dark on canvas. And so for me, it's a spiritual experience. It's something that happens when people say things that are their own choices of colors or their favorite colors or the colors that they are drawn to when they're painting, is a way that they put them together that has its own language. Mm-hmm. And I love that. There is a language of color. It's universal. No matter what language people speak, and by the way, I've worked with many children, for instance, that do not speak English, as well as adults that do not speak English, and I am not a translator in mm-hmm. other languages. So we've had people in the room help to translate, but they were able to do the exercises because color translates across language.
And that's so true. And I know that there were a couple of questions that you were asking in a couple of the workshops that I've taken. And it's amazing how, for instance, with me, blue and lavender are very soothing colors for me. But for some, depending on the person and their frame of mind, that can be a very depressing color for them. Blue can be depressing. Well, when you think about Picasso in his blue period, you know, that was that was a telling, those were telling pieces that he did. So I know that the use of color can be very powerful.
Oh, yeah. I mean, thinking about the book that I co-authored with Sarah Marbury called The Power of Color, Creating Healthy Interior Spaces, we have a list of America's favorite colors, but based on the color wheel and the spectrum, you know, the definitions of these colors and how people respond. So, for instance, with blue, it is America's favorite color. Everybody in the surveys that we did over the years when we went into that for that book came up with the fact that they love blue because blue is a trustworthy color. It's the color of the sky for them that's not fallen yet, Chicken Little. And also, it is the color of the ocean that has not overflowed them yet. That's it's trustworthy. It's always there. It's stable. And so, on the other hand, you know, orange is considered a color that expresses emotions and is a color that is related to people speaking verbally. and, you know, often about their emotions. And it's so funny because I see so many people sometimes use orange in their paintings, and then they'll say, I hate that color. I don't know why I used it.
I know.
And then they'll say, you know, something about why it's there. So I always find it fascinating, the translation of the paintings is best done by the artists themselves who painted it.
Yeah, it's so interesting to see the finished pieces. Well, it's time for us to take another short break.
Okay.
This is Terry Sue with my guest Lori Zagon, and you're listening to Frame of Mind on Voice America 7th Wave Channel. Stay tuned.
Your favorite Voice America Talk Radio Network shows and hosts are in your car, outdoors, and wherever you need them to be.
Listen anywhere.
Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Explore the infinite possibilities of the unknown. Learn about the mysterious and mythical realms through time and space. Realize your inner truth. Tune in to Spirit Walker with Dr. Jeffrey Pierce and co-host Cindy Pierce. Dr. Pierce is a true intuitive. He is legally blind, uses no cards, pendulums, or guides, and has been found to have 97% consistent accuracy based on testing by the United Kingdom Institute of Psychic Sciences Research Center. Listen for topics that others are afraid to address on Spirit Walker, Wednesday at 1 p.m. East, 10 a.m. West on 7th Wave Network.
Now you can take your favorite Voice America radio program with you anywhere. Sign up for our mobile app if you have an iPhone, Android, or BlackBerry. The Voice America Interactive Radio Player, powered by Aircast, gives you the freedom to listen to any of our programs anywhere, live, and on demand. No registration is required. Listen to your favorite Voice America hosts and discover new ones. Download the Voice America mobile app for iPhone, Android, or BlackBerry, powered by Aircast. Visit the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Do you want to know what's really going on these days? Well, Capital Thinking takes you inside the worlds of policy, politics, law, and business. What happens in Washington, on Wall Street, and in our nation's legal system impacts your business every day. We're taking you on a behind-the-scenes tour of all of it. Each week, we bring you unfiltered conversation with a variety of influential policymakers, lawyers, and business leaders. I'm Kevin O'Neill, and I'm your host as Capital Thinking tours the halls of power. Join me for Capital Thinking on the Voice America Business Network each Thursday at noon Eastern and 9 a.m. Pacific Time.
Awakened Media for a transforming world. Seventh Wave Network.
You are tuned into Frame of Mind with your host, Terry Sue. If you have a question or comment for our host, or just want to find out more about our program and an Ayurvedic lifestyle, please email terry.suehill@yahoo.com. That's terri.suehill@yahoo.com. Now back to Frame of Mind.
All right. Well, once again, welcome back, everyone. We are continuing our discussion on art and creativity for kids. And with Lori Zagon, not just for kids, but for adults as well. It's for everyone who needs an outlet and who needs to express themselves in a different way other than verbally. And I find that just fascinating to see some of those finished works of art. So, Lori, could you explain whether you choose the mediums for a specific reason, and in what way does the medium that you choose for your topics fit the subject?
Well, as I said, I think that I do focus mostly on painting. I'm a painter myself. That's my background, and I really love having people experience high-quality acrylic paints on canvas. There is nothing like having them dip in to paint for the first time, and they feel like they're five-year-old kids again. So I like painting the best as the medium to work with, although I do enjoy working with collage and oil pastels. We have different types of curriculum that we use that are for different groups of people. So, for instance, I do a four-week class with people that have suffered the loss of a loved one. We have one four-week session for children approximately 5 to 12 years old. And then we have one for adults, and it's a 4-week series, and they actually get a chance to do a collage to celebrate the life of one of their loved ones that they've lost. And we ask them to choose one color that reminds them of that person, whether it be because it was the person's favorite color or because it's a color that they feel they resonate with that person or remember that person for. And they are able to use magazines and cut out things from magazines and create a collage about their relationship and experiences with that loved one that was lost. And then we frame them and give them to them to take home as the first class. And then we move into oil pastels and watercolors and also, obviously, acrylic paints, as I mentioned. So I love art. I love fine art. I love getting people to draw and paint and express themselves. And it's there's nothing to me greater, and what truly motivates me is bringing out the best in other people with art. I grew up in a community in New York where it was my favorite thing to do because things weren't going so well at home, and we lived in a 3-story home in Queens, New York, and the basement was my sanctuary where I painted because upstairs there was a little too much craziness going on, and so I was able to escape, and that escape for me helped me to be who I am today and to help other people learn some of the methods that I've been able to put out and help them with. And I think art is easy and accessible, and we shouldn't make it an elitist subject.
So it sounds like some of your workshops require more than one session.
Sometimes. I mean, people can come once. They can come. I have so many classes that I have a following of people that actually come to every class just about. And so you can pretty much come 12 times to 12 different classes and then repeat classes. But where you are is never the same. So
that's
the person
right.
who comes there is going to paint a completely different painting on the same subject that they painted maybe 2 months before.
So do you, with that in mind, because you do have some people that come back for the same topics repeatedly over and over again, and so do you encourage verbal discussions during the creative process?
No. Everybody's quiet, and I ask people to just be silent and not, you know, to just be into the work. And when the work is finished, we allow the group to share about their own work, or we sometimes ask people to pick one out that they like and tell the group why they like it. And the person, of course, who is the owner of that piece is often surprised that their picture was pointed out as one that someone else loved. And so, but it's always about individual sharing and allowing people to just say as much or as little as they want to say. No one is forced to speak. In fact, I often say to people, just to let you know, you do not have to share if you choose not to. But in the children's workshops, the kids always want to share.
And that's what I was going to say. All of the workshops that I've taken,
yeah,
you always give that option, but yet everybody chooses to share. I don't think I've taken one where someone has chosen not to share.
They're excited. They get excited. They're so amazed at what they've done because it goes from their seat where they're sitting on the table, and it gets put up, propped up on a wall where there's a lip where it's like a little shelf, and the painting gets put up, and they see it from, you know, 10 feet away, and they're amazed. Oh, that came from me? I did that? Because art needs to be viewed at a distance. As we know, at a museum and a gallery, you need to stand back, go forward and stand back and see it at different levels. But when it's right up against you when you're painting it, it's hard to see what it looks like at the end. So they're just overwhelmed. They can't believe, oh, my God, that's mine? I did that? So, there are two things that I've discovered that I think are significant. Two major reasons with the thousands of people that I've worked with all these years that stop people from doing art in their adult life. One is that they had, no offense to teachers, had a third grade teacher from hell that maybe didn't make art as pleasant an experience as possible, made it a little bit too competitive so that Mary felt inadequate and never wanted to paint again because Johnny was the acclaimed artist of the class. And so it wasn't for everyone to be, you know, the good artist. It had to be just one or two kids that were the good artists. The other reason, so a lot of people raise their hand and say they had that experience, and that's why they don't do art. The second reason I think is the most popular is someone in your family owns the title of artist. And if somebody in the family owns the title of artist, everybody else just says, oh, I could never be as good as Bob, or I could never be as good as Carol. She's the artist in our family. And so they don't bother. And mm-hmm. so those reasons can actually stop people. But when you open up the door of creativity and show them, art is for everyone. It is not an elitist form. It can be very elitist, but we're not saying that we're turning out Picassos. We're just saying that we're helping people to find their creative center, to be the most creative that they can be, which is that all of us were created with creative abilities. That I believe personally that God is the master creator and that all of us have that creative instinct.
Absolutely. I totally agree. So you pretty much answered the question, one of the questions that I was going to ask you anyway. Do you think a person can become more creative as a result of taking one of your classes? And I know that I've seen the improvements in just taking the series that I took. So I was able to see my own improvements, but I was also able to see some people who maybe didn't have a lot of self-confidence come back every week and do something spectacular that was just gorgeous. I mean,
that's
what
true.
Is it? What's the phrase, suitable for framing?
Suitable for framing. And also I tell them, well, okay, now I promise you this, when you're done, you are going to be so excited about art that every time you pass an Aaron Brothers or Michaels, you're going to want to jump out and go in and buy something. And so many of them call me or write me and say, you know, you're right. Every time I pass an art store now, I feel compelled to want to go and get some art supplies.
Yes.
So it's truly exciting. And I've had artists, you know, really people come to classes that become artists. I've had some that actually started painting and showing their work and selling their work. It shocked me. But, you know, because I don't really believe that I'm doing anything other than, quite frankly, being a guide on the road to creativity. I'm not doing anything that is that different than other people, other than I created a specific curriculum for it. That's all. It's my curriculum is a little different from other people's. But it's all about expression of the human spirit. And we all have the ability to do that.
So do you find that during this process, the intended outcome is totally different sometimes than the person expected upon completion of the project?
Oh, that's so true.
Yeah.
I mean, what's in their head, and they'll often say that. What was in my head when you gave me an image to think about, let's say it's a beautiful flower garden, and so what they saw in their head was a flower garden at a distance, you know, far away, but what came out was looked like a bunch of flowers, a bouquet of flowers, all bunched together, looking close up at it. So how shocking it is to them that they are creating something that was not their original intention. Mm-hmm. And what I often say to them is, the best art is when you make mistakes and those mistakes lead you to something that you would never have seen before.
Yes, yes. So, okay, well, it's time for us to take another short break. And so this is Terry Sue with Lori Zagon, and you are listening to Frame of Mind on Voice America 7th Wave Channel.
Think you've seen everything there is to see in online television? Let us surprise you. Visit voiceamerica.tv today for sports, health, business, and more on demand 24/7.
Leadership is a destination, but how do you get there? More importantly, how do you maximize your power and influence and develop more leaders in your organization? Learn from proven leaders and proven practices. Join Drs. Kathy Greenberg and Relly Nadler for Leadership Development News. This program will help you develop the next leaders in your organization, balance your work life, manage your boss, and manage yourself. We'll feature cutting-edge interviews with industry experts and authors. Leadership Development News, every Monday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on the Voice America Business Channel.
Have you friended us on Facebook yet?
Why not?
Just go to facebook.com/Voice America or search for the keywords Voice America. Once you are part of our Facebook network, you'll receive daily messages about what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and new happenings at the Voice America Talk Radio Network. And you can add your voice to the always active discussions on our wall. Just go to facebook.com/Voice America or search for Voice America.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
You are tuned into Frame of Mind with your host, Terry Sue. If you have a question or comment for our host, or just want to find out more about our program and an Ayurvedic lifestyle, please email terry.suehill@yahoo.com. That's terry.suehill@yahoo.com. Now back to Frame of Mind.
And once again, welcome back, everyone, as we continue our discussion on art and creativity for healing with founder Lori Zagon. So, Lori, tell us something about the upcoming events that you have. I know that on the May the 14th, you have Art and Creativity for Healing, and you're going to host the annual Palette of Colors, Boots and Bling.
Yes,
Boots and Bling, that sounds like
I know,
fun.
It's a Western theme. You know, we do a couple of fundraisers a year because as a nonprofit, we have to raise money to do the programs that we do for the community outside of our studio. We do workshops for the community. Those are all free to the community. So, for instance, we have a Chalk Hospital program that is a bedside visiting Art Angel program where we have one-on-one visits to children that are in long-term care in the oncology ward. So that's one. And then another one is the Orangewood Children's Foundation, Orange County Social Services, FACT program, Families and Communities Together. We go to 14 different family resource centers throughout Orange County, Anaheim, Garden Grove, and Santa Ana, et cetera. And then Human Options, Battered Women's Shelter. And then the fourth one is our Camp Pendleton project, which is growing by leaps and bounds. We go to two elementary schools on the base that are all children of the deployed. And then we also visit Camp Pendleton Wounded Warrior Battalion once a week, where we work with wounded warriors that are suffering from, obviously, the effects of war. And then also down in San Diego at the Naval Hospital with brain injury military personnel. So it's we need to raise money, and Boots and Bling is our annual gala, and we hope that people will want to buy tickets. They can certainly buy tickets through our website, www.art4healing.org. But it's a gala where we have fun, and it's artsy because we're artsy people. There'll be 200 people, 200 tickets available, and we have a nice dinner, and a lot of artwork is sold because we have so many artists that contribute that there's a silent auction where people can buy great paintings, pieces of artwork from, you know, local artists that are just great, and some of our own artists from our classes.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit more about some of the programs that Art and Creativity for Healing offers to the community and its nonprofit partner organizations. I mean, could you go a little bit more into depth on
those? Oh, sure. Well, you know, we have the difference with some of these that is different from what we do at our studio is that we work with the partner organization, and I work with the therapists that are in charge of these programs to offer a curriculum that's suitable for them. So I will work alongside these people and say, what would you like us to accomplish with your group or your groups? And they'll tell me, and so I will design something specifically. So the Family Resource Centers with Orangewood Children's Foundation is a one-stop shop for people that are below the poverty level, usually that are using these Family Resource Centers. And they offer lots of services, and one is one of our Art for Healing classes weekly at all these different locations. And so people come, and it's a way for them to let out some steam from all of the financial and spiritual and physical ailments that are going on in their lives. And so whatever they're there for, the painting helps to get that out. Now, the same thing happens on Camp Pendleton. All of the programs there are designed to help any of the people that have been a part of, you know, the Camp Pendleton military base. So the soldiers and their families are all invited to take these workshops. Like, I have some women coming up to the studio this weekend that are part of the Family Readiness program there. And these are all spouses of deployed Marines that are in Afghanistan right now. So we work with the children, the spouses, and then the wounded warriors on base. Mm. And we also have a program that we've had for over 8 years at Human Options Battered Women's Shelter in Irvine, where we worked with victims of domestic violence on a weekly basis. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, as I mentioned, the Chalk Hospital bedside, that's one-on-one where we go and try to bring art materials to the kids and let them choose what they feel like doing. These are kids that are in heavy chemo and being needles up the wazoo, and they're just, it's just very difficult. So we try to put a little brightness in their day by not only working one-on-one with them, but then also leaving art materials for them to continue using until we come back the following week.
Oh, that's and I need to stress that, by the way, to my listening audience, Lori is very, very kind and very generous. I know that upon completing one of her workshops, she gave me some supplies to use with my students in the classroom, and they really enjoyed that. And I took them through some of the processes that we did in the workshop, and that was very kind. I was very surprised and happy that you did that.
Oh,
so that was.
I forgot that, but thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah, see, I didn't forget.
Oh, well, that's so sweet. Well,
people don't forget kindness.
Oh, that's so nice. Well, one of the things is that one way that people can help us is that if you send us a pack of Crayola markers, a package of any brand, you know, of markers or color pencils or glue sticks or strip of watercolors, we're going to use those materials and we're going to bring them and leave them for those kids at Chalk Hospital, because everything that we bring into the hospital has to be brand new. So when people donate, they can do that. I mean, everybody can probably afford to buy one small, $5 art supply. And that is a big contribution to us, because it makes every bit of difference that it's going right into the hands of a needy child who really needs to do something in a hospital environment where there isn't that much to do on a daily basis other than watch TV. So we help that along by doing art with them. But also those supplies will go to the kids on Camp Pendleton. And at the schools, we have to have supplies. And so some paint pot sets or paint pot sets that you can get at Michael's or acrylic paint pot sets help along with all these other kinds of things like little sketchbooks or little journals that we give the kids as well. So, yeah, it's, you know, a little goes a long way. Our charity is a small charity. We see 3,000 people a year that we give to, and our budget is around $325,000 a year, our annual budget. But we do a lot with very little, because really, if you think about it, everything goes out to everyone. The way that we keep our lights on and to pay our overhead is by our Chapman certificate program that we have. We're the first in the country to have one of these certificate programs, and I know Terry knows well what this is. And it's a way to certify people in our method so that they could be Art for Healing facilitators in all of the areas that they work in. And that money pays for our overhead at our studio.
Mm. One thing that you said a couple of minutes ago that kind of struck me is that was it the cancer patients that have to have everything brand new? Is that because of the handling?
Yeah. So it's interesting. That's why when I get used supplies that haven't been, I'll give those to teachers like yourself,
mm-hmm,
because
mm-hmm.
you guys can certainly benefit with them, but I'm not allowed to bring them onto, you know, the base sometimes. If depending on, like, in, you know, especially when working at the hospital, they have to be new,
and understandably so.
Yeah, but it's all, you know, I feel, just to as a sidebar here, I feel blessed that I have been given this gift by God to do mm-hmm. this work, and I am 61 years old or 61 years young, and I feel like I still have the rest of my life to go to keep giving this out to people. And what a job. I mean, I feel like I have the greatest job in the world. So you are giving me an opportunity to tell people about it.
Oh, well, it's my pleasure. What about Art and Creativity's other community programs? if someone wanted to learn more about your certificate program with Brandman University, what would they do?
They could go on our website and get all that information, or people can email me at laurie@artforhealing.org, L-A-U-R-I-E. But I think the most important thing is call us. I mean, people are always shocked I answer the phone. It's like, say, well, how come you answer the phone? I, because I only have one other person working with me in the office, so it's small, but we get a lot done. We have a lot of teachers that are independent contractors, 25 of them, but we have, you know, we don't have that many office people. We have volunteers that help out at the office. They, people can come and volunteer for us. We have four volunteer orientations a year. Next one is in April. You can email us at volunteer@artforhealing.org if you're interested. But the other way is that come and take a workshop. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I offer that I love, this is my favorite, beside from volunteer orientations, my second favorite thing is to have workshops that I always teach in the studio. And people come from all over. They travel from all parts of Southern California to come and take a Sunday afternoon workshop or a Saturday morning workshop. And it's not a lot of money. It's $55 for a three-hour class. That includes all your materials. And again, that's how we keep the lights on. Mm-hmm. It's the Chapman program, which is Brandman University, as well as these community workshops. All proceeds go to pay for the overhead of our rent, and then every donation that's made to our organization goes directly into the hands of the children and adults that are in our partnership programs. And by the way, partnerships can be made. If there are nonprofits out there that are interested in partnering with us, grants have to be written, but we can try to find a way to get it funded, because we will have to get funding for it. But we're always interested in new partnerships and new ways that we can work together with other community nonprofit organizations.
Lori, I'm going to have to cut you short. It's gone way too fast. We're going to have to do this again.
Well, thank you.
I would like to once again thank my guest, Lori Zagon, for sharing her journey, facilitating the healing process with her very worthwhile quest, helping others to express their feelings with color. If our listeners would like to find out more, Lori, once again, how can you be reached?
You can go on our website, www.art4healing.org, or you can email me at Laurie, L-A-U-R-I-E, at art4healing.org.
And as always, I want to thank you, my listening audience, for tuning in to Frame of Mind today. I hope that you've enjoyed our time together. And the Chopra Center always asks us to answer three essential questions prior to entering our meditative state, and they are, who am I? What do I want? And how can I serve others using my unique gifts and talents? Lori has certainly found hers, and I encourage you to ponder those questions as well. I'm asking that you think about someone you know who could be helped or served by this knowledge and share it with them. Live in peace and love, everyone, and enjoy your day. Bye.
We hope that you've enjoyed our program this week. Please join your host, Terry Sue, again next weekend. We'll be here Saturdays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time, on 7th Wave Network. Until then, focus on your strengths. Live and think healthier this week. Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the 7th Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit 7thwavenetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.